This is an MUT Radio podcast.
And there was Nick Pittman at Mango Juice. As I've said earlier, Uguti, we're going to have more mango juice. And the mango juice is here as well. So I just gave you just a few of the mango juice. We still have more. So we have Nick on the here in studio. So let me just tell you more about Nick Pittman. Who is it? Nick Pittman is a guitarist and a producer and a music educator based in Durban, South Africa. He has carved a dynamic path over the last decade within the city's vibrant music scene, renowned for his ability to traverse diverse genres and push the boundaries of musical conversation. Nick Pittman has earned recognition from both South Africa's both local artists and the wider South African music community, having gained accolades. Pittman was selected for the Standard Bank National Youth Jazz Band in 2016 and 2017. His musical journey took him to Cape Town, showcasing original composition with guest artists onto the stage at the Oslo Jazz Festival in Norway in 2016. In 2022, he was one of the acts which performed for the renowned South African jazz venues, the Rainbow Summer Series of Concerts, and celebrating the club's 41 years birthday on the lineup, where the likes of Sibusiso Mashilwane, Peggy Khoza, and Malvin Peters, and apart from performing his own music, he is and has been a band member for prominent figures like Brian Tusi, Sibusiso Mashilwane, Andile Inana, Makoi Mkhrubata, and Lou Dlamini, along with a busy performance schedule. My things are going fast. Now I'm losing my name. Okay, Nick Pittman has completed his debut album, Juice Box, teaming up with some of Durban's finest musicians. The album is a meticulously crafted fusion of original composition spanning the last 5 years and selection from his university days. The recorded album is a culmination of crowdfunding campaign which Pittman began in August 2023. The fund was highly successful. Along with this campaign, Pittman was also awarded the Samro Music Creation Support Fund in 2023. These funds have been immensely helpful in allowing Pittman the opportunity to hire a great studio musicians and visual artists to realize his vision. The album compromises his original music, which can be described as a fusion of jazz, funk, rock, and Afrobeat. The band includes Ntokozo Ntsibande on trumpet, Siyalo Zulu on trombone, Bertie Naidu on piano, synth Brandon Hore and on the bass guitar, and Bruce Baker on drums. And the album is mixed and mastered by Peter Arrest. The album promises to be a compelling showcase of Pittman's artistic revolution and his commitment to pushing musical boundaries. Nick Pittman, how are you, say?
I'm good, thanks, man. And yourself, Tokozo?
I'm good, bro. Reading this is, you've got a huge bio. And also, what I must say is there are so many things that are not there that I know. A man who passed his degree with cum laude.
Yeah, that's true.
From the University of UKZN.
Yes.
In the music.
Yes, yes.
Man, where all this thing started, like the love of guitar, the music, Where did you begin to like this?
So I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly because my father was he also played guitar, and there was a guitar at home. And I think I just started, I ended up playing guitar, you know, like that. Getting his guitar and finding his old books that had guitar chords with lyrics that he had written down. You know, back in the day, you couldn't just download the lyrics and like the chords from the net, you know. So he had written out these words and all the verses and choruses to some of his favorite songs, and then the chords above them, you know, A, D, G. And I just started learning rhythm guitar like that. And then I got really inspired by musicians like Jimi Hendrix and B.B. King. So I started to really listen to the blues, you know, a lot. And from there, I started to play around Durban a bit when I was a teenager. And then, yeah, when I got to about 20 years old, I realized, you know, if I want to make this a career, I can't just be, you know, half-heartedly, you know, doing this thing. I need to take it seriously. And that's when I decided I wanted to study music.
Wow. Because I was going to ask that you just solely chose music, and hence there were so many like other opportunities that were there. Maybe you could have chosen to be an IT specialist. You could have chosen other studies, you know, but you chose music, ne?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm lucky like that. I got to choose music. I did actually study before my Bachelor of Music. I did a Bachelor of Arts in philosophy and law. So if I'd wanted to carry on with law, I could have. But after doing 3 years of a Bachelor of Arts, I realized law probably wasn't my thing.
Mm.
Yeah, so I took a year off and then got stuck into music, and that's when I decided.
I wish, bro, you could go back there, because I think currently the music scene needs more people who have studied law and to save our arts, because there's so many things that are happening that we don't understand and we've never seen it before.
That's
true. Especially here in South Africa, you know. Let's move along. I've seen you performing in different stages, and tell me, how is the feeling like on stage? Because when Nick performs, I think you lose Nick that we know from, you know, from the audience and so forth. But when you touch those notes, you go somewhere else.
Definitely.
Well, tell me about that experience and being called on stage by the likes of who's that guitarist who called you on stage to play his guitar?
Last year, Jimmy Lulu.
Jimmy Lulu.
Oh man,
yes.
That was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, being on stage is, that's where it's at, you know. That's where you want to be as a musician. That's where I want to be the whole time, to be honest. I'd love to be on stage every day. If that, you know, like that's the ultimate goal, I think.
Mm.
And yeah, so we played a gig last year, a show, and Jimmy Lulu was headlining the show. And after we had all performed the different bands, he got the different artists to come up, you know, one by one. I wasn't expecting it. He just, you know, he's such a performer. He was off stage, you know, wireless guitar, dancing around with the crowd. And then all of a sudden he saw me and just pulled me on stage. And man, it was quite, you know, it's quite intense, you know, like just to be pulled on stage. And then he says, okay, you know, now you're going to play. And man, you don't know what key the song is in or anything. You just, you know, so he gave me the guitar, and luckily the first notes I played was in the key. and then I just went from there. Hey, it was cool, and it ended up being really good. It was actually Weekend Special by
Brenda Fassi,
yes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was really cool to play with his band. I mean, that band is tight, and they are like on it, and it's
wow.
a big band, and his guitar feels amazing. And yeah, that was kind of one of the peak moments of my career so far. Yeah.
But not to only mention Uti, you've only played with Jimmy Lulu, but I think I've seen you with quite a lot of musicians. Remember when I went down to go and watch you when you were playing with Makoi Mkhurat as well. And I think that's one of the best moments, because.
Oh, man, yeah.
You give it all on stage, you know.
I definitely try and give it my all. Yeah.
Yeah, but also taking now coming back to the music, how you released music, because people don't know that, some don't know that you are not only boxing yourself in terms of releasing your music maybe to jazz, you've also released the My Piano song.
Yes.
You know, you've got another song, why am I forgetting all these things now?
Oh, Izulu and Rollercoaster.
Rollercoaster, yeah. You know. Tell me, what inspires you to pick a genre or to release the song?
I don't think that I say to myself, I want to do this genre. I just kind of hear things that I like, and then I maybe get inspired to do things that are similar to that. I listen to a lot of different genres. And it's honestly because of coming into contact with so many different people. Like, you know, Durban is really, there's different people everywhere who listen to completely different things, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's inspiring. And a lot of my students always ask, you know, can you play anything on guitar? They'll say, oh, this song. And you can play anything. And I think that's what inspires me as well, is that guitar can be, any instrument can be any, it can, you know, do any style of music. So why not, you know, not just do that? And, I think that's, it kind of, whatever the idea sparks more ideas. And then I just let that roll. I don't stop it and say, okay, well, it's becoming too pop or it's becoming too rock. I know that because of being interested in so many different things, the music will come out sounding like a combination of things. So I think I kind of strive to that. I kind of strive for a song that sounds like an influence from a few different angles. So yeah. I find it very difficult actually to write a song when I'm saying, okay, this must be pop. Then I feel like I fall flat, or this must be jazz. Then I struggle. But if I kind of say to myself, okay, I kind of wanted to, I'm feeling a bit of jazz here, but I'm also feeling a bit of hip hop and rock. Let me see what I come up with. Then I can create something. Then it's a lot easier for me to create something. Yeah, rather than saying this genre, I want this genre. Then it boxes me in, and I feel a bit too, it's not a lot of wiggle room, you know, and I don't like that. I like to be able to like move around a bit.
Yeah. I'm sure very soon we're gonna get maybe a Maskandi feel.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Because you are a man of many talents, and your creativity, bro, it's very, I would say it's wild. It's very wild. Okay, now here's a story of a mango, of a juice box. A mango juice, I'll call it like that. Mango juice. That's track number 5, by the way, on the album. Tell me, take us through the journey of this album when you're still raising the funds, because I saw on social media how people reacted in terms of supporting you with the funds, and also even like Samro got involved as well, and then they gave you some money, as much as we cannot disclose how much, but take us through this.
So yeah, sure. So so the album was funded mainly by a crowdfunding campaign, okay, which I used BackerBuddy to help me source the funds. And if the listeners out there aren't too sure what that is, that's basically a site where you can ask for donations for whatever cause you have. A lot of people do charity work on there. A lot of people also do, this type of thing, raising money to tour or, record an album. So, and it's something that I've always been interested in, to be honest, from like 10 years ago when I started seeing other artists doing this, it just made a lot of sense, you know, because if you have 200 close fans, I always like to donate a bit if I can to causes. So I figured, well, if I do that, then I'm sure other people are keen to donate to my cause. So it got this idea in me to just, let me do it. It was after Grahamstown last year. Actually, I was very inspired by Grahamstown. Every time I go to Grahamstown Jazz Fest, it just inspires me. And after that, I just got inspired to do this album. And I thought, you know what, let me just do this crowdfunding thing and see how it goes. And I was able to raise the money, like quite a lot of money there. And then I applied to the SAMRO bursary for the SAMRO Foundation fund, and they also awarded me some funds there. And then that helped in creating this budget. And then, yeah, I just tried to use the budget wisely, because, you know, had to hire the musicians and the studio and rehearsal time and artwork and a bit of marketing money as well. And yeah, so that was basically the idea, and it was great. It really helped a lot. Yeah.
I saw that on the album you've also like honored Mr. Tusi.
Yes.
Is that Dr. Brian Tusi?
Dr. The Brian Tusi, yes.
Please tell us why. Like,
what? So okay, so Dr. Brian Tusi actually was one of the adjudicators / judges for the Standard Bank National Jazz Youth Band, I think in 2017. Mm. And that was the second year that I was auditioning for the band. And we played, and eventually I made it through to the band. And after we had finished the festival, I think a month went by, and I suddenly got a call from Dr. Tusi, and he asked me if I'd like to play in a show with him.
Wow.
And that was amazing. Like, it was so out of the blue, and he had enjoyed how I played at the Stunning, you know, the day. Festival. So and then he asked me to play a few shows for him. And then when I started playing a few shows for him, one of the songs that we played was one of his songs called Back in the Days, by his guitarist Godfrey Celeso. And the song is very similar in sort of structure to another song by Jimmy Dludlu called Mr. Mokwena. And there's kind of like a few songs like that, South African guitar songs, you know, that have that sort of structure to it. And I ended up, after having played in his band, I'd have my own shows, and I started to play that song as well in my own shows.
Wow.
But the thing is, like, I would sort of, it's a party song, you know, like, it's a dance song. So people really enjoyed that song, and I would end off the show with that song, but it wasn't my song. So at some point I just started going, oh, you know, I can't really end off my shows with this song. I need to maybe come up with my own song that, you know, honors Dr. Brian Tusi for the, you know, the chance he gave me, the opportunity, but also to try and honor South African guitarists or Southern African guitarists in the same vein as Jimmy Dludlu and Godfrey Celeso. Mm. So I tried to compose the song that was, you know, in that same spirit. And I just want to dedicate it to Dr. Brian Tusi, and I named it Mr. Tusi, kind of playing on the same way that Jimmy Dludlu obviously honored Mr. Mokwena when he titled that song Mr. Mokwena. So that's the reason for the song. And yeah.
You know what? What we're gonna do now? We're gonna go and do pay our bills, go to the ads, and play Mr. Tusi.
Awesome.
So, after this nice story, you know, it's very special. You know, it's a. I think as a young artist or aspiring musician, we look up to Abantu Bafana no Dr. Brian Tusi, and we know that how he has paved a way for many of the youth in South Africa, and also in Umlazi as well, like your Linda Skakane, you know, yeah. your Talisu Ndlanzi, you know, but that, all that being said, let's go and pay our bills and then come back with the song Mr. Tusi.
I'm good, man.
I know that we've been talking while the song is playing, and believe me, this song, when it started, you know, I was dancing, so I'm sure everyone was dancing. Tell me the collaboration with the band. That's, how did you choose this band for this particular album?
That's a good question. So I would say that the person who was definitely there was the bass guitarist Braden, because I've been playing with him a lot in the last few years. And then there was a show that we did at the Rainbow, which you mentioned in the bio there, at the Rainbow restaurant. I think it was 2022 for their summer series, celebrating their 41st birthday. And we had Burton Naidu, who was one of my lecturers on piano, and Bruce Baker, who was also one of my lecturers on the drums. And I just asked them if they'd like to play for the gig, and they accepted. And so it was us four, myself, Braden, Burton, and Bruce. So it started like that, and we played the rep, but we didn't have a horn section. And I'd actually played another gig, I think it was early on in that year. It was the Battle of the African Guitars at the Center for Jazz.
Yes, yeah, I remember that one.
And Tokozo was arranging the horns for all the artists there.
Really?
And, yeah. And so he had actually arranged two of the songs or three of the songs in like 2022. And I just really enjoyed the way it sounded. So when the opportunity came up to record this album, he was like the first guy I got in touch with. And I was like, listen, man, I want to do this album. I've got the rhythm section. We need some horn parts. How's about we meet up and we start writing the stuff? And he had already had a bit. So we just, we expanded on that. And then we came up with more arrangements. And he was obviously going to be the trumpeter. And then he suggested Siyalo Zulu on trombone.
Mm.
And in terms of sax, I decided on Martin Sigamani when it got closer to the recording schedule. So that's kind of how the band got together. It was like a sort of a year-long kind of search for the right band, in a way, yeah. And just experimenting with the guys on stage, you know, which is the best place to do it, yeah.
I think you chose good people on this
one.
Sure, thank you. I've met quite a few of them, actually all of them,
yeah.
But I must say each one has its own style, but when you guys are together, it becomes a mango juice.
Awesome.
It becomes a real juice, you know.
Yeah, man, I agree. I think they really did a great job, and I'm so thankful and grateful to all of them for putting the time in, like, because some of that stuff that Ntokozo wrote was tough, man. Like, I had to learn parts for my own songs. And, like, I was, like, sitting at work, you know, like, teaching during the day. And then when I'd get a 10-minute break, I'd quickly get Ntokozo's arrangements out and start, you know, working on them. Just so that when we got to the studio, it was sounding good, you know?
Yeah.
And they did the same. Siyalo did a great job, man. He really put a lot of work in. And he really, yeah, I'm grateful to all of them, man. So, yeah. It's a nice one, guys.
Yeah, I think you've answered just partially one of the questions that I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask again. Are there any songs on this album that were particularly difficult to write or record?
Yeah, I mean, those horn parts on Mr. Tusi, they're not easy. And even there's a section there, like a bridge section, that's not... It was pretty tricky, you know. There's some bebop lines there that are going, and you gotta work on it. You can't just rock up to the gig unrehearsed and try wing it, you know. There has to be some rehearsal for it. So it was. So I think Mr. Tusi, even Roller Coaster, has got some tough horn sections there. Mm. The Washmaster 3000, the opening track. I love that track because there's a really cool horn solo section there in the first couple of minutes, which has got. A really nice horn arrangement. What else? I think all the songs they've got tough sections, but not too tough that it sounds too technical. It still sounds really nice and musical and melodic. Mm. And they were all pretty tough.
I was going to say, in the ears, you might will think that this is difficult, but how you and the team has made it easy for the ears also to consume, you know, listen to. But also at the same time, I'm like looking at Nick's fingers on the guitar. Hey, bro, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
In Zulu, we'll say, Ksugamabeb. Ksugamabeb, agapela. Because, like, I haven't seen someone playing live like that. You know?
Awesome, man.
And also with the song, I think all the tracks of yours are a bit difficult to play.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely, like, I still get nervous, eh? Playing all the shows that we've played about four or five shows, and, hey, man, I get nervous to play my own songs still. Like, you know, like, it's like I haven't had a gig where I just feel like, okay, it's going to be a breeze. It's still, you know, having to concentrate. Okay, that section's coming up. Okay, are we already... Yeah, it's good. I like that about being on stage. You know, when you're in there, you got to focus on what's coming up next. And yeah, one thing is getting it done in the studio, but actually to do it live again, we've actually recreated these sounds live on every occasion that we've played in the last month. And it's really cool, man. I'm stoked. The guys have put the work in and I'm really proud and really grateful to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us, bro, like, what kind of reception are you hoping to receive from your fans with this release?
So, I guess obviously, I would love people to love the music, you know. But if they don't love the music, that's cool, you know. That's chilled, you know. So I hope that people enjoy it, and I hope that people love it enough to come and support it when it gets played in Durban. Mm. And ultimately, I hope that the album gets picked up a bit and allows us to get onto some festival bills. You know, I would love to travel and do festivals with this band. Yeah. We are gig ready. We festival ready. The music is sounding tight on stage. And if there's any festival people out there you're keen to have us, we are keen and we are ready. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. And then obviously to be on amazing shows like this,
yeah,
with great presenters like yourself,
you
know, it's if this can happen more, then I'll be super stoked and happy with how this album is received.
Yeah. You just answered the second question. The last question I was going to ask on this interview, but do you have any plans for tours or live performances to promote the new album where people could just go and watch you playing with the band?
Yeah, so at the moment, we don't have anything in Durban lined up. But what I am hoping to do is set up a Joburg weekend and a Cape Town weekend towards the end of the year, where we go and tour this music, hopefully play 3 or 4 shows in each province.
Yeah.
And try to sell the album, network, and just try and make some more money from album sales to help us do the tour, you know?
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is now, selling enough copies that we can raise some cash to get us a trip to Joburg and Cape Town.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. So, but we're definitely going to have some more shows in Durban. We just have to finalize the details for those. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
In closing, Nick, thank you so much for actually coming here and to share the journey of the Juice Box. And also I think we've learned a lot as well in terms of how you arrange your music, how you guys connect with the music as well. But tell us where one could find you on social media, and if they want to call or make a bookings, please give us all those details.
Sure. So so you can find me on Instagram at NJ Pittman. That's at NJPITMAN. You can follow me there. You can send me a message on there. If you'd like to check out more social media, you can go onto Facebook and look up Nick Pittman, N-I-C-K, surname P-I-T-M-A-N. Then there'll also be links there to my Linktree, which has a website link. It's got links to Bandcamp, where I'm selling the album online digitally. You can purchase it online, or you can listen to the single Mango Juice on Spotify. You can find my other singles on Spotify. And all the other streaming platforms like Apple, YouTube, etc. What was the other thing I was going to say now? Okay, I've forgotten now. But yeah, basically, yeah, just get in touch with me through social media. And yeah, if you'd like a physical copy of the album,
yes,
I've got CDs and I've also got these business card USBs. So if you don't have a CD player and you'd like a USB, you can get in touch with me through Instagram, Facebook, anything. We can make a plan to meet up. I'm mobile, so yeah, let me know and we can make a plan.
And you can courier.
Exactly, and I can courier as well. So that's, yeah, exactly.
That's Nick. He's saying he's going to give you all if you want. Just DM him, you'll get it. So Nick, we're going to end up with this song, Roller Coaster.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah, I think let's play that song just to close our interview.
Awesome.
The time is 45 minutes to 5 o'clock, and you are listening to MET Radio, Shaping on the Future. And we are just speaking to Nick, talking about his new album release, Juicebox. Do go on the lookout and check it on all social, on digital plus platforms. And also you can catch Nick on every social media platforms and just.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.